He has led the charge for over four decades to bring real health into our Australian health system, which is not a health system, it's a disease management system. He has been at the forefront. He's built systems and had them destroyed under his nose by the TGA. I want you to give a very warm welcome to one of the finest men I've ever met, Professor Ian Brighthope.
Thank you very much, Graham. And thank you. I would never have dreamt that I'd be standing here in Perth speaking to a lovely group of people about an iatrogenic-induced disease, a doctor-induced disease. In the 80s and the 90s, I came over here for a Dr. Ivy Bullen. The late Dr. Ivy Bullen was one of Perth's heroes in helping cancer patients. And I'd come across and go down to Jarrahdale and run a retreat and help people with cancer by using diet, meditation, supplements, herbal medicines, intravenous nutrients, all of the things that patients should get, but didn't get. And I never thought that my profession would end up causing the most uncontrolled experimentation ever on humankind. So, again, thank you and thanks to the organisers for inviting me here today, because I believe I do have an important health message for the entire country, if not the entire globe. So, ladies and gentlemen, friends, colleagues, distinguished guests, and fellow advocates for the best of health, thank you for being here today as we address one of the most critical issues facing our society: the safety, transparency, and long-term consequences of the COVID-19 vaccination program. Our discussion today is not about fear-mongering or conspiracy. It is about truth, evidence, and the urgent need to protect public health. It is a privilege to speak to you on an issue of profound importance to the health and future of all Australians, an issue that concerns the safety of the COVID-19 vaccines administered to millions. You have heard from the previous speakers what's been going on with regard to the history and to the vaccination programs and to the science, the politics and the legal aspects. From my perspective, as a medical professional, retired medical professional, come out of retirement to retrain doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals in what we can do to help the general public who are scrambling for help, who are getting sicker and who are dying unnecessarily and prematurely. The concerns I have are based on well-established science. This is not theoretical or speculative. Decades of research have demonstrated the risks of foreign DNA integrating into human cells, leading to potentially catastrophic outcomes. The synthetic DNA contamination, as detected in Australian vials of the Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines, by Dr. David Spiker, presents risks of genomic instability, which can manifest as cancers, autoimmune diseases, mutations, and hereditary disorders. The vaccines contain lipid nanoparticles, toxic, which encapsulate synthetic DNA fragments. These nanoparticles deliver this DNA into most organs throughout the body, where the DNA has the potential to integrate into our own genetic material. Every organ in the body, from the brain to the heart, the ovaries, the testicles, the spleen, the liver, the eye, the ear, everywhere. The scientific literature makes it clear that this can lead to cancer and cancer development, immune system disruption, infertility, and more. Levels of contamination detected are up to 145 times the permissible limit. Some cases are extraordinary and far beyond what should be allowed in any medicinal product. We are already seeing evidence of these effects in real patients throughout the world. My colleagues and I are witness to a very disturbing trend that must be addressed. Patients who have been cancer-free for many years are suddenly relapsing with aggressive explosive cancers shortly after receiving booster doses of the COVID-19 vaccine. These cases show very rapid tumour growth following the booster administration. Very rapid tumour growth. The nature of these cancers is extremely unsettling. They are not just slow-growing progressive types we are accustomed to managing. They are aggressive, often presenting in advanced stages and affecting multiple organs by the time they are diagnosed. Excuse me. These are pancreatic cancers, a very, very deadly cancer. Ovarian cancers, difficult to detect until they are well advanced. Lung cancers and colorectal cancers. The colorectal cancers are showing explosive growth patterns, something we have never seen before. Something else that we haven't seen much of before are two very different cancers arising in the one organ. And in fact, there have been cases of colorectal or bowel cancers in which there are two different cancers, two different genetically determined cancers in the large intestine. There has been a case report of a woman with breast cancer, three different cancers, two in one breast and one in the other. This is most unusual. These turbo cancers are emerging faster and more virulently than what we would expect in patients, including in patients who had otherwise been stable for many years. There is also a rise in blood cancers such as lymphomas and leukemias, which are sometimes appearing very shortly after vaccination. The public health authorities are reluctant to acknowledge the correlation. This is happening across the globe where the mRNA vaccines have been administered. Australia has administered more than 60 million doses of these vaccines to over 20 million people. Australia's governmental health authorities have chosen not to monitor new or emerging cancer trends following the widespread use of these vaccines. It is troubling that the Department of Health has not made data on cancer trends post-vaccination publicly available. It is their responsibility to do so. This is a critical gap in public health oversight. Given the massive contamination levels of rogue residual DNA in the Australian vials, we must expect an ongoing rise in cancers and other genetic disorders in Australia. This issue is a potential long-term health crisis waiting to happen. This matter must be taken seriously by every Australian. We must advocate for immediate public health responses. We need our health authorities to begin monitoring these trends. Without immediate action, we risk leaving Australians vulnerable to a wave of preventable diseases that may devastate families and strain our healthcare system. These gene-based vaccines should never have been considered. The technology had never been proven to be effective in preventing coronavirus infections. The technology had been shown to be unsafe long before it was used in 2021. The delivery of the modified RNA in a lipid nanoparticle, something that would carry the drug into the depths of our brains, our ovaries, our testicles, our heart, virtually every organ in the body, should have been known by the authorities. The drug was never going to stay in the deltoid muscle. Furthermore, there was another contaminant in the drug, endotoxin. Endotoxin is what causes shock, and shock can lead to death. The contamination of these vaccines with synthetic DNA should have been caught and dealt with before any doses were administered. We must act urgently to mitigate the damage. The first step is to halt further distribution of these contaminated products. Furthermore, let us begin with a fundamental truth that has been systematically ignored. From the outset of the pandemic, the possibility that SARS-CoV-2 emerged from a laboratory was dismissed without proper investigation. This dismissal set the stage for policy decisions that lacked accountability and transparency. One lie and everything else was built on that lie, and it has become a disaster. Governments around the world imposed lockdowns that devastated economies, mental health and social cohesion, all without scientific evidence to support their efficacy. These measures inflicted untold suffering, especially on the most vulnerable in our communities. And I come from Melbourne, ladies and gentlemen, the most lockdown city in the world. And it was a hideous place to live. Absolutely hideous. When we allowed out, we watched people walking down the street, spraying door handles and lampposts, and it was unbelievable. It was like a circus. I could never imagine anybody killing a virus that way. Just unbelievable. The mantra, safe and effective, was echoed endlessly, despite insufficient evidence. Even the manufacturers of vaccines have stated that we cannot manufacture vaccines safely because they're inherently unsafe. The claim of 95% efficacy was a statistical lie. In reality, these experimental injections have been associated with more deaths and injuries than any other pharmaceutical product in history. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have undergone the most dangerous, uncontrolled experiment ever on mankind. We must not ignore or forget the ethical principles that were violated during this time. We must always remember the willful blindness of our leaders, political, medical, media, and scientific. We know who they are. Malcolm knows who they are. First, do no harm. The foundational principle of medicine was completely ignored. Every individual has the right to make informed decisions about what is injected into their body. You all know that. Full, free, informed consent must always be included, including the right to informed refusal. This is a part of the rules of medicine. We don't want repeats of drugs like thalidomide or situations that give rise to Nuremberg-style hearings. As I've stated publicly, I did this in a Senate inquiry, the mRNA gene therapy, shouldn't have been injected into a single human being ever. I would like to see the halt of these mRNA factories being built in Australia. Now we face new mRNA vaccine proposals such as those for the childhood vaccine programs. Horrible, horrific. Our response must be clear, ladies and gentlemen, no more lies and no more experimental vaccines. Health to those in Canberra is a foreign language. They just don't get it. And those who are controlling them probably do get it and get wealthy from it. Thank God it only takes one man to stand up and fight. Thank God for Senator Johnson and his colleagues in the US. But ladies and gentlemen, thank God also for Russell Broadbent, Malcolm Roberts, and a few other Australian politicians. History will remember their courage. For without courage, there's no truth. And without truth, there are no other values. Another man, Dr. Fauci. He and I go back to the early 1980s with the advent of the HIV/AIDS virus. Dr. Fauci was recommending AZT, a dangerous drug, and withholding the use of a simple antibiotic, a sulfonamide, and allowing the HIV/AIDS patients to wither away and die. We applied nutrients, nutraceuticals, and repurposed medicines back in the early 1980s to keep our HIV/AIDS patients alive. Well, you know, I wrote a book about it, the use of nutrients and high-dose intravenous vitamin C to keep AIDS patients alive longer, and they did. I was reported to the medical board. I was charged with many charges of infamous conduct in a professional respect. But back in those days, we did have justice in this country because they tried to strike me off. I applied to the Supreme Court and I won my case. I can't say that I do respect the justice system in this country now, after seeing what's been happening in the Supreme and High Courts and being involved in one case myself. I believe that there is something seriously wrong with our justice system. As Voltaire warned us, Dr. Fauci, before I go any further, he said, when you make it difficult for people in their lives, they lose their ideological BS and they get vaccinated. This statement reveals a very disturbing mindset, coercion and pressure over free will and evidence-based medicine and evidence-based healthcare, which doesn't exist in this country. I was going to say, as Voltaire warned, those who make us believe in absurdities can make us commit atrocities. On the truth in science, if we are to determine truth about vaccine-related injuries and deaths, we must apply rigorous scientific criteria. The Bradford Hill criteria is used to establish cause and effect and not just association. So did the vaccines, have the vaccines cause the excess deaths, the serious illnesses and the disease? Well, to many of us in scientific medicine, with a scientific background, the Bradford Hill criteria actually apply and have been met. There is no doubt that these vaccines are doing what we are claiming them to do. Furthermore, the evidence that the contaminating residual DNA, the rogue DNA, in the vaccines itself, inserts itself into the recipient's DNA. That has been proven. Problem is, we don't know exactly where in our DNA this rogue DNA is inserting itself. And this is why we are seeing bizarre presentations in healthcare now. These turbo cancers are affecting a young population aging about between 14 and 40. They are explosive and often linked to the number of vaccine boosters. Mortality rates are high, and the typical indicators of cancer progression don't apply. So it's a big problem. The primary cancer may be difficult to find. Tissue samples in the USA have detected the vaccine spike proteins in biopsies in the cancers. Yet here in Australia, we have failed to test adequately. Shockingly, the mRNA in these vaccines contains, as you heard, the SV40 sequence, and that is a cancer promoter. It's a sequence from the simian virus. That's something been around. We have known about it for a long time. A known cancer promoter present in both Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. The result? Unregulated growth and an increase in cancers that should have remained rare. Despite clear indicators for alternative approaches in both prevention and treatment of these cancers, funding for innovative research is denied, and lives are lost unnecessarily. We are headed for a future where turbo cancers will become increasingly common if we don't act now. So immediate action is, from my perspective, essential. Health authorities must, one, monitor cancer trends post-vaccination. Two, develop testing protocols for those exposed to synthetic DNA. Three, halt the distribution of contaminated vaccines and enforce strict safety standards. Four, conduct research into the prevention and treatment of vaccine-related conditions. And five, commence educational and preventative programs at primary healthcare level. By addressing these issues now, we can mitigate the risks and protect the health of Australians. Ignoring this could lead to a preventable public health crisis with devastating consequences. We have a vision for the future. A new Australian Department of Health and Wellness. It is time for a new approach. The approach that we've been teaching in a very small way to a very small number of doctors over the last 40 years. But it's great for me to see that doctors who are specialists now taking on the use of lifestyle approaches, diet in particular, good nutrition, and the appropriate use of nutraceuticals and repurposed safe medicines that have been around for decades. Thank Malcolm for mentioning some of the important substances that we can use. And I'll add to that right at the beginning of this pandemic, if Morrison, Hunt and Murphy had adopted a CD zinc campaign, we would have been out of the pandemic in 6 to 8 weeks. And nobody, unless they're over the age of 80 or had severe comorbidities, would have got sick, and we would have reduced the death rate to virtually almost zero, because you never ever, and this is what the public health experts need to learn in this country, is you never take a population of people or an individual into a pandemic who are low in those critical nutrients, especially the vitamin D. And you never, ever let anybody go into a hospital who is low on vitamin C and give them drugs, because they'll end up in intensive care on a ventilator and dying. We showed in some studies, and others have been done now, that you can actually take people off ventilators or prevent them going onto ventilators if you give them a nice big high dose of intravenous vitamin C. That is safe. That is effective. It's time for a new approach, ladies and gentlemen, a health and wellness system that prioritises prevention over treatment. Nutritional, environmental and integrative health care and medicine alongside good conventional care. I mean, we are the best when it comes to acute interventive medicine, whether it's trauma, whether it's surgery, whether it's anaesthetics, we shine. But all of the rest, we fail. Transparency, ethics, and the empowerment of individuals to take control of their health is absolutely imperative. Finally, our councillors, our politicians and leaders have a duty of care and a responsibility to all of us. That's why they're there. So in closing, I'd like us all to remember the failures of the past must not be repeated. The truth must prevail over censorship and coercion. Somebody needs to speak to the chair of the ABC. Who believes that the ABC always tells the truth? I used to admire the ABC for its truth-telling, but it has failed. It has failed dismally, and it has built its information and its narrative on that one big lie. The truth must prevail over censorship and coercion, and the health of future generations depends on the actions we take today and tomorrow. We must prioritise human life and dignity over profits and politics. Thank you for listening, and God bless you all.
How about you?